Blue Wire.
So welcome to episode 34 of That's What Bea Said. We are thrilled tonight to be joining you again live on a Tuesday. I am joined by my fellow co-host, Miss Brittany Mollis at Bird's Eye View. Hey, Britt.
Hello, everyone.
We've got Meredith Kane underneath her on the square. Meredith, how are you?
Hi. So on mine, I'm underneath you.
Everything's reversed. I'm sorry. I was looking at our Zoom call. This is weird. And then we've got a special guest tonight, Miss Caitlin. You guys know her on Twitter as at Caitlin Knows Klee. She's probably one of our favorite follows. She gives us
She is our favorite follow.
Yeah. Gives us the best feedback after our live podcast. So we figured we had to get her on, talk about a lot of things that are going on in the sports world. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. We're going to get into some tougher topics tonight, but you know, we started this podcast to elevate women's voices in a sports setting and platform. And we haven't been as overt in saying that, but in the recent weeks, and particularly last week, there's been a lot happening in the sports world when it comes to women and people's perceptions of where they belong or don't belong in sports. And Washington's football team, I'm not going to even call them their former name.
Doesn't it feel dirty calling them that now? Yes. Like, you know, growing up, you never thought about it.
You know?
Yeah. But like this past week, you see them in the news and stuff, and all of a sudden, like the thought of saying that, you're just like, ugh, I couldn't.
Exactly.
But like you did it for so long. It's so weird.
Yeah, it is. It is really weird. But Washington, some tea was spilled late last week about the football team. There were 15 plus allegations of sexual harassment, misconduct reported by women in various roles within the organization. And while Dan Snyder wasn't directly implicated, a lot of people in his inner circle were. So we wanted to touch on that a bit and just give our thoughts, because here's the thing, you guys. A lot of sports radio, sports talk out there is all from a male's perspective. If you tune in on any local radio in the Cleveland market, you are getting their thoughts, their opinions on things that they've never probably experienced in their life. So we're happy to actually share our own experiences, our own opinions and thoughts on this coming from the female perspective, because that's why we have this podcast. So I'm going to kick it over to you wonderful ladies to hopefully get your thoughts. I can't wait to have this open dialogue, and I can't wait to see people chiming in the comment sections. Brittany, I'm going to kick it over to you first.
Are you sure you can't wait to see people in the comments section?
You're right. Actually, I have to monitor those comments, because if it's anything like Twitter was these last few days, like everyone's getting the block, just saying.
Oh my God. Toxic. Right? Like, yeah, Twitter has been, and this happens every time there's some kind of sexual assault story, domestic violence. We saw this surrounding Kareem Hunt. We saw this surrounding Courtney Smith. You see this surrounding Greg Hardy, like Tyreek Hill. Every time a story like this comes out, the Dales get super toxic. Mm-hmm. And this time has been no different.
Yep.
Now, I try to stay out of it a little bit. I was quiet when, you know, Brie, you tweeted something last week and you sort of got attacked for it.
Yes.
And there were, I don't even know how many comments, but it was just, you know, you got bombarded. So I looked at that and I was like, you know what? I just don't know if this is even worth me getting into.
Yeah.
But then I took the step because, of course, I can't just let you take all of it on your own.
I appreciate that.
And I tweeted, you know, people are always like, oh, well, you can't just put women in charge of things just because they're women. And this is something that somebody commented to you, mm-hmm. to a response to something that you said. And I said, well, why not? They've been doing it for men since the beginning of, like, literally time.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's a fair thing to say. And let me just get something very clear here. I don't by any means hate men, obviously. Like, my two favorite people are my dad and, like, Joe Biden. So... like, I love men. man friends, okay? So what I did from that, and it was in the rundown, we're going to go through some of our favorite responses, because this is just like a little taste of what happens, you know, regularly. So when I tweeted that, should I call them out by their ats, or is that giving
yes,
me too much?
Yes, this is our show.
Okay, yeah, let's call them out. Okay, so at SickRoy6, agreed, we put them in charge of plenty. The cooking and the cleaning and the diaper changing, and they knock it out of the park every time. At
Wait,
Dude
is that
Ohio.
A compliment?
No, it's not a compliment.
That's like one of those like passive aggressive.
No, joke's on you, dude. I don't cook.
Yeah, I was about to say
diapers.
He's so. Literally never, like, I had to babysit once a few years ago for a friend, and his daughter, I think, was like 2, so she was still in the potty training phase, and I wound up having to change her diaper at some point during the night, and it was such a terrible experience because I did not know what I was doing. And like when he and his wife got home, he was like, oh God, I am so sorry. Here, let me show you.
Yeah. So this is another one. Why are you going to let it dictate what you do with your life? Nothing is given. Everything is earned. Remember. And you know what one of my biggest pet peeves is when people say something so absurdly stupid and they think they're being very wise and profound.
Yes.
Like that drives me crazy. Because this guy sent this tweet off and this is that Dude Ohio guy. You know that he's just sitting there like, oh, I really owned her. And it's like, shut up, bro.
Wait, funny story about him.
Yeah,
I think he actually deleted his responses to my tweets. I couldn't find them today. And his tweets to me were something along the lines of like, women and men shouldn't actually be playing the same sports, which I read that and I was like, no, no, and no. I literally, I didn't even give any additional context. I just said like, no, like everything about what you were saying, just no. And I think he was mad because I didn't elaborate, but I was also in a work meeting. So like, guys, like, let me just rewind for a minute.
Wait, you work for a living?
I work for a living. This is not our full-time job.
Are you allowed to do that?
This, no.
You have like, a vagina, Brie. Are you allowed to work?
You're supposed to stay in the kitchen and change diapers, Brie.
I'm going to whisper this. I'm the breadwinner.
Oh, no.
How dare you?
The audacity.
Right? I mean, how dare I? How dare I? Okay, but anyway, so Dude Ohio deleted, I think, all of his comments back to me, and he ended up messaging me, DMing me, and essentially giving me this long spiel about how what we do is great, go after, get sponsors, like, just like almost the completely opposite of how he was coming across in his responses. And part of me was like, you should just not respond to me that way, or at least be supportive in public.
Right. No, they won't do that.
Fine.
Also, this guy's been in my DMs too. And let me tell you, his DMs were not like that. And I wanted to blast him. I was sitting there with Jenna the night that he did this. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, hey, Jenna, look at this. He said something totally inappropriate. And I was like, I'm about to just blast him. So I just did here. So there you go, Dude Ohio. Mind your business. Next. And I thought that this was a very interesting comment. I wanted to see how you guys, it's not like mean. So this was refreshing, sort of. He said, well, my dad was VP of his company. He said he always wanted to hire women because they were so used to having to work harder to prove that they were worthy of the same opportunities that they worked circles around men in every instance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I've always said about, you know, just women in sports in general and, you know, my job and any job in sports is that we have to work 10 times harder. We have to be 10 times smarter. We have to be just 10 times more everything than the man next to us just to be seen as an equal. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, you know, if a guy comes in and does a job and he does it adequately, like we have to go above and beyond that same job for someone to look at it and say, okay, well, that's, you did a good job. Like, good job, Meredith. You did a good job. You did, you know, the same level of work as dude bro next to you, even though what I did was probably 10 times better. Like, that's just the nature of this job. And I'm not saying like within the company, because I will say this for my coworkers and my boss, they're very respectful and I'm very, very grateful. Like, there's a reason I've been at my radio station the longest in Cleveland than I have of any other radio station I've ever worked for. Like, there's a reason for that. I'm talking about like the people who view the content on the outside. So for those of us women who talk about sports on Twitter, who work in Twitter, work in sports, like everything we do, like has to be 10 times better than a dude to get a seat at the table. Cause like the one thing that we all experience is like, you say, oh, I like sports. Oh, you like sports, do you? Well, what was the blood type of the backup goalie of the Edmonton Oilers in 1974?
Yeah.
Like, dudes don't get that. Like, dudes don't get quizzed. We didn't get quizzed every time we talk about how we like sports.
Yeah. Or one of my favorite things is, you only like sports because of hot men.
Yes, you want to get attention of men.
Yes, because everything we do revolves around men.
Yo.
Right.
Clearly.
Kaylin, I'm curious to hear. You've been pretty quiet thus far.
No, I was just letting you guys, you know, do your thing.
We could go on and on and on about this. I want to make sure we hear your experience too, because like people hear from the three of us like week in and week out. I know you have your own podcast that you just started actually not that long ago, Crunch Time with Kaylin. So I'm sure you've experienced maybe some of this yourself over the last few months and probably longer than that.
Yeah, maybe like when I first started Twitter, because like when I first started on Twitter, I was just like one of those like generic like Cleveland sports accounts, because like I didn't want to get like the hate because, you know, I was a female talking about sports.
Yep.
But really with my podcast, everything's been super positive, and which I'm extremely grateful for. You know, it's not just me, it's the, you know, my friends who've been guests and who know what they're talking about. Whether it's like my buddy Derek, who's on when we talk about the UFC or something, or you know, just today I had my buddy Alex and we just nerd out about baseball for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it's weird because you guys, I see the hate all the time when it comes to you guys, but I'll be honest, I don't get that hate. At one point I did, like early on in Twitter, but like, I mean, it's been years. So I just assume they either block me because I clap back, or, you know, it's like they, you know, it just doesn't show up on their timeline, I guess. But it's just like, it's very like heartbreaking, because like, you just want to see people just enjoy. Like one of the comments was, I think I responded to you guys, was like, imagine being mad at something that you guys want to talk about on your own podcast.
Yes.
Right. Like, it's like, if you're that upset, like just create your own. It's super easy.
Yeah.
If you want a different perspective, like go do it.
Or don't listen.
Yeah, exactly. Don't listen.
Yay, Kaylin.
It's and I mean, you know, like to your point about, you know, the Cleveland media, you know, I legitimately don't listen to anything anymore. Really, I swear the only sports podcast I listen to is you guys. And aww. One of the reasons why I kind of got back into doing a podcast, because I did it back in, I think it was like 2015, 2016. And then I just stopped. But it was just because like I wanted more sports, but like I wasn't going to listen. I wasn't going to turn on the radio. No offense to Meredith in 92.3. Because, you know, I'm a big fan of Ken Carm and Anthony Lyman and all them. But it's just like, it's all the rehashed takes. It's like everything's the same. You already know what they're going to talk about. So it's just like, you know, where do you find a different perspective? Maybe it's the same answer, but how do you get to that same answer?
Yeah.
You know, that's where I think it's valuable. So like a podcast like yours and a lot of others I see on Twitter, you know, I always try to give a listen to.
Yeah. I personally think the Dales are afraid of you because you know more about sports than anybody.
So I feel like Kaylin would just blow everyone out of the water.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to, is because they know that if they try to come at you with sports knowledge, like, you're going to emasculate them 10 times to Friday, and they just don't want to
do that. I think you should really just start doing that. So, okay, Kaylin, I have a strategy for you, okay? So just start like tweeting out like super hot takes, like scalding takes. And then these guys are going to like latch on to you and be like, oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. And then you blast them with all your knowledge. And I'll retweet the shit out of it. Like 6-2.
Well, it is funny, because like, even, you know, it happened a couple weeks ago. I was camping and I was introduced to the head guy of a Browns backers organization. And literally, like, how I was introduced was, she knows her shit, and like I was kind of tested, and then next thing you know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, Austin Hooper's kind of good. Oh yeah, David Njoku, you know, I don't really know why he wants to get traded, and then I like blast him with the, well, Stefanski runs two tight end sets 60-something% of the time, and a zone blocking scheme is, you know,
so good
for Nick Chubb, and you know, like just stuff like that. It's like, all right, you're gonna test me, all right, bet, like I got you.
We should start doing that for our guy friends, like every time we introduce him, be like, hey, this is my friend Joe, he really knows what he's talking about when it comes to baseball.
Oh yeah,
we should start
exactly
doing that.
Like, what, like, do you have to preface that, like, why is it so surprising? Brittany, were you done with your call outs? Because I wanted to make sure that we got to the full amount of the call outs.
Those were the highlights, I think.
Okay.
You know, I just don't want to waste any more time on terrible people.
I know. Well, you know, the last thing that I will say with that is I was sharing with you guys right before we started that we were putting together the rundown, going over the topics of conversation, and Brittany had put in there, what reactions did we get? Were they good? Were they bad? And I told them I was rereading all of the comments that I got on my tweet, and my tweet was just saying flat out, there needs to be more women in leadership positions within professional sports leagues. And you can take out professional sports leagues from that, by the way. Like, we could just say there needs to be more women leadership just in general. I think the world would be a much better place. Companies would be a much better place. And that, for whatever reason, was a hot button. And I was getting a lot of comments of justifying, like, women, of course, women can be in leadership positions if they earn it or if they deserve it. I don't want to give any handouts out. And someone had responded to me and said, why don't you do something about it instead of just talking about it? And
doing something though?
Right. So, and there were like three like back-to-back comments of like essentially urging me to do something versus just tweeting about it. And that's what this podcast is. Like that is exactly what we are doing. Like, we felt there was a void in the market. We felt like a lot of topics weren't being covered the way we wanted to listen to them. So we created this podcast. And oh, by the way, like, sometimes we're funny. Sometimes we laugh about things. We make fun of ourselves. Like, yes, we can talk about sports. We also have personalities. Like, this is who we are. We're not going to be just a robot that's going to feed you the same information that you can get by tuning into any other radio station out there. Like, we want to be authentic to who we are. And I'm not going to change to fit your mold. So let's just be very clear on that. Like, we collectively on this podcast are not doing this to please you. We are doing this for ourselves because I was in a bad mood before coming on this show, and this show makes me in a much better mood. So just let us live. Let us live.
Also, I will say to an extent, tweeting about it is doing something.
Yes.
Because it is bringing awareness to the problem. It's and one of the solutions is hire more women in leadership roles, which is exactly what Washington's NFL team did today. They put a woman in charge of their broadcast team, which is outstanding.
Yep.
But like, that's sort of like what it is. Like, that's one of the reasons why people are constantly tweeting about Breonna Taylor, because as long as her name is still trending, it's reminding people that the police who murdered her still haven't been arrested. You know, like that's like, so to an extent, tweeting is doing something about it. It's one of many things that we can do. And it's one of many things that we are doing.
Yeah. So I think to maybe put a positive spin on this, because that's what we do. We are positive here. We like to be positive, uplifting. I wanted to just go around and ask you ladies, like, what are stories that you've had, any women in sports or in your life that have had a positive influence or a positive impact on you that you just want to kind of talk about, give props to, because it's important that we continue to share what we are inspired by. So Kayla, I'm going to kick off with you first.
Oh dear. No, I think when it comes to sports, you know, someone like Doris Burke. I mean, when you just see her, she's the best. She's the best.
She is.
And then, you know, growing up like Cheryl Miller on TNT for a long time.
Yep.
You know, just like in the media right now, Aditi Kikabwala, I think she's fantastic too. I know some people don't really like her, but Jessica Mendoza from baseball to Sunday Night Baseball. I really think the issue with that was, I mean, the three-man broadcast team with her and A-Rod, and like then you got the play-by-play guy trying to do his thing. It's just like too many cooks in the kitchen, really. But yeah, I think off the top of my head, you know, those handful, I mean, they do a great job, and you know, definitely someone you, I think a lot of people could look up to.
Yeah, Meredith, what about you?
So it's hard because, like, I mean, just about every woman who is doing something in this industry is a hero of mine. But for the longest time, I was always behind the scenes, especially when I first started out. And the first time that I felt really inspired to want to get in front of a microphone and not just be the producer behind the scenes was when Katie Nolan was still doing her show on Fox Sports. It was
Garbage Time.
Yes. Oh my God, that show is so good.
I totally forgot about her, but yeah, she's amazing. Her show is hilarious.
Yeah. So she was doing her show on Garbage Time. It was at like 1 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays or something like that. I used to DVR it, and it was always funny and it was always lighthearted. And then there was that situation that came out with Greg Hardy and, you know, him essentially beating and abusing his girlfriend and throwing her on a bed of guns. And then Jerry Jones coming out and calling him like a leader of men. And it was just absolutely disgusting. And so Katie had this like 8-minute monologue just tearing apart the Cowboys, tearing apart Greg Hardy, and tearing apart Jerry Jones. And I had just broken into the sports industry at that point. Like that was, I was very, very green at that point. And I remember watching that monologue and watching her and saying like, okay, like I want to be like her. Like I want to be unafraid the way she is. I want to be as bold and as brash as she is. And I want to speak about things that matter the way she does. So Katie Nolan was one of the first people who really truly inspired me. And then I'm also very inspired by Amy Trask because she has held a high position with the Oakland Raiders. She currently holds a high position with the NFL, and nobody talks badly to that woman or about that woman. And if you do, it'll be the last thing you ever do. Like, she takes no shit from anybody, and she is the sassiest woman I've ever had the pleasure of talking to, and I love her.
She's so nice. Yeah, like on Twitter, she says hi to everyone.
I've been
mentioned in like these groups with her probably like 6 or 7 times now. And like she always responds to these people, and she's always like, oh, and hi everyone.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
What an angel.
She's incredible.
Brittany, Miss Britt.
You know who I just loved? And like, she was one of the reasons why I even wanted to get into like, you know, when I was in college, I went for journalism and I wanted to be a sports reporter. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be on the sidelines. And I adored and still do Erin Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
I just have loved her since the, I can't tell you enough how much I loved her. Because, you know, she was this beautiful girl. She had blonde hair. And me, like, young, I'm like, yeah, like, I could see me doing that because look at her. She's doing it and she does such a good job. So she was my favorite. But now I want to, you know, you got into Katie Nolan. And you have this new group of, like, young female talent of, like, Katie Nolan and Sarah Spain and
Mina Kimes, Charlotte Wilder.
Love Mina.
Like, they bring such personality.
Yes.
And I think, like, that's the new, like, key to success in this. Because, obviously, you know, they get a lot of trolls, they get a lot of hate. But there's something to be said for people who, and you see it a lot with women, who aren't afraid to put their personality out there. You know what I mean? You know, with men, they don't really, I wouldn't say they don't really have to as much. But, you know, it's sort of like a new pathway for women. Like, okay, you know, yeah, you know sports, but what makes you different than anyone else who knows sports? So you have this new brand, I say that with air quotes, brand of women who are just, you know, fearless, and they'll put themselves out there and they'll, you know, lend you something personally. And like, I admire and respect that so much. And, you know, those new girls, I love them. And I think they're fabulous. Of course, Aditi, she's my queen.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get her to come to Cleveland for like 2 years now.
I know. Yeah, that needs to happen. I would have to agree with a lot of your list. The one that I just absolutely love is Kay Adams. I love the fact that she has a show on the NFL Network. She holds her own with all of the men at the table. She has a personality. And I'm with you, Brittany, on that. Like, I am very much attracted to who the person is. Mm-hmm. As much as I am about their sports knowledge, you know, to me, like, that is, I think, the one thing that makes having these women, like, on these shows, like, that much more interesting to watch, because we get to see who they are. And not that men don't have personalities. I just feel like for women, like, this is essentially, like, you have to have a personality to make it, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, yeah. Your smarts just isn't enough to cut it. And we've talked a little bit about that. And then I think locally, Allie Clifton, I really, really loved when she was covering the Cavs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm raising a daughter and she watches sports with me. And I try to always point out the women that she sees, whether it's on a broadcast, whether it's on the sideline reporting, whether it's them playing. I want to make sure that she sees, like, it's not like, like, women can play sports. They can have a job in sports. They can be coaches. And she just immediately took to Allie Clifton. Like, she was obsessed with LeBron James, and then it was, like, Allie Clifton. So that to me was just like, okay, like, I love that she loves Allie and sees sports happening and loves watching them, but also gets to see someone do this as a job. So that was really cool for me. So
that's awesome.
She will always be one of my faves. Sad to see her go, but I like Angel too. And Layla has latched on to Angel as well.
Yes. So. Angel's fabulous.
Oh, she is a sweetheart. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was good. I liked how we turned this into a positive light. There's a lot of really good comments on Periscope. People are saying everyone loves Amy Trask, Katie Nolan, Jessica Mendoza, Aaron Andrew, like, everybody's agreeing pretty much. So it's good to see that. Everybody...
You know what's great that I've noticed? We get, like, a lot of individual hate for, like, our own, you know, what we are. But, like, on the podcast, a lot of people seem to genuinely like the podcast.
Yeah, so, I agree. You know, yes.
We don't get a whole lot of hate about the actual content that we put out in a podcast form. It's just, like, they hate us personally, which, that's fine.
Someone will always find something. If you're going to hate us, you're going to always find something to hate. You know, we could be doing the best job ever, and someone will hate the way that they would hate the fact that Brittany has bluish blonde hair.
Like, so,
I mean, we could be doing a podcast about being in the kitchen and changing diapers, and they'll still find a way to hate on it.
Exactly. Like, why'd you use Pampers instead of Huggies today? all right, guys. So speaking of the NFL, sports, Browns, we have some things to cover when it comes to that field. So there's a lot going on. And you talk about the power of social media and what impact it has, like a single tweet. On Sunday, I don't know if you guys caught this. I'm sure you guys did. We Want to Play was trending. Hashtag We Want to Play was trending. And it was coming directly from NFL players. Obviously, Browns players were associated with this hashtag, and this was really just all talking about player safety and the NFLPA not really agreeing with NFL, saying that there weren't rules and regulations that were outlined for them. They didn't feel like things were set in place for them to be able to start, and essentially saying they want to play and they want to give us the season, but they didn't feel like anything happened the way it should have. I did just see before we came on tonight that they did agree to zero preseason games. So that is one of the things that they were having a disagreement on. But I think the most important thing out of all of this is the NFL had, 5 months to figure this out?
Oh, my God.
And it took them this long. Like, we've been griping about the MLB, but, like, come on, NFL, do better.
What have they been doing? Like, they've just been – I think they really thought that it would just go away on its own.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we don't have to – But, like, 100%, even so, you're, like, a billion-dollar, you know, franchise. You should have, like, plans A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like, all of them. You have enough people. You have the brains. You have the money, the resources.
Yeah.
Figure this out. Don't wait until, like, 3 days before a player is supposed to report and be like, all right, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're on your own.
The one thing that the NFL had that nobody else did was time. And they wasted it. You know, because they probably sat there and thought, like, because, you know, it's back in March and they're looking at this and saying, like, okay, well, the draft is in April, and they figured out how to do it virtually, and that was a really positive thing, and that gave people a lot of hope, and everything that the NFL needed to do outside of OTAs and rookie camp, which would have occurred like a month ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, everything they've been able to do, they were able to do it virtually. And I think they were probably just sitting there with their feet crossed, hoping that things would have been solved by now. But they like got a little bit better, and then they got exponentially worse. And instead of going through and saying like, okay, well, here's what our contingency plans should be, they were just like, well, maybe by August, the virus won't be here anymore, and we can just have, you know, 400 people in the building sweating on each other.
Well, I don't know if you've seen, like, I saw a quote saying that they wanted to use the quote-unquote honor system when it comes to social distancing and making sure everybody was tested. It's just completely ridiculous.
That the honor system? The honor.
This is why you need women in leadership. Because it's like, a prime reason. Like, women get shit done. We just do. And we do it in a very short amount of time, mind you.
Yes, exactly. Put women in charge of everything. Why are we wasting time not doing this?
I love the honor system. Like, that is, okay.
They need juvenile stuff there.
They need, so the NBA in the bubble, and I know we'll get into the NBA in a little bit later in the podcast, but I found this out, I didn't realize this, that in addition to the snitch line for people who are breaking protocol, there is an app that the reporters, the players, everyone in the NBA bubble, whether they're participating or reporting, they get an app where they can snitch on everybody. So they have a snitch app. And I want to see that. I want to see that in every sport, man. Like, I want to see it in baseball. I want to see it in football. Like, if they see someone out, you know, going to the Walgreens when they should be staying home.
They should be going to the bar, Meredith, not Walgreens.
No, maybe they need to go to the Walgreens for other reasons that you can't get at a bar, okay?
Another thing that women would be really great at is spying on snitching.
Yeah. Very true.
Can you imagine, like, I won't get into all the creepy stuff that I have done on social media to like spy on people because wow, none of you would ever look at me the same. But trust me, I do it pretty often. Like, I know things about pretty much everyone. But like, can you imagine, like, oh, you know, there's all kinds of like little maps and stuff that you could like, never mind. I'm done.
I know.
I'm concerned.
Well, like, Brittany knows who my childhood best friend was from the third grade because she's that good of a
I know everything. I know things because I'm a giant creep.
I wonder if there's a financial incentive to snitching on people too.
Ooh,
there's gotta be, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's either you're snitching on your teammate or your friend.
You get a little bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think the situation is you just get to play because if someone like breaks the bubble and they bring COVID in, because that's what happened with the MLS. Like, COVID got in the bubble and two teams had to pull out of the tournament. So like, that would be the incentive right there, because if the rest of the season gets canceled, so does your paycheck.
Although the other thing I just saw, NFL was saying that training camps would take it down to 80 players versus 90 typically. So like, it's interesting because like, obviously they're trying to limit the amount of contact players are having with each other. But on the other hand, what do you do if someone, if you do get a COVID breakout and you only had 80 people on your training camp team? Like, the whole thing for football specifically is interesting to me because you can wipe out an entire position that like can't really be replaced in a sense. And then do you bring someone in from the outside? Like, how, like, are the people that don't make rosters for the NFL, are they going to just be quarantined for the full NFL season? Because you can't have someone come in from the outside that could potentially have COVID impact. Like, I don't know, like, the whole thing is just very, very interesting. And it actually reminds me a lot of like what's happening with schools and how they're going to manage going back to schools, groups of kids, if anyone gets the disease. I mean, yeah, I just feel like, to your point, they had 5 months to figure it out. They clearly thought it was just going to disappear and go away. Mm-hmm. That isn't happening. So now it's almost like a hurry up offense, and we're just going to throw spaghetti to a wall and see what sticks. Just, that's great. That's perfect for $1 billion company. So let's talk about a couple of players, you guys. So David Njoku and Mac Wilson has been top of mind for whatever reason on Twitter. We know David Njoku a couple of weeks ago requested a trade, wants out of Cleveland, and then he posted a tweet. Was this yesterday, you guys, or was this Sunday? Keep me honest.
Was it today?
Here.
Was it today?
I think it was this morning. I want to say it was this morning.
Okay.
I'm losing track of days, but I'm pretty sure it was this morning.
Yeah, what day is it? It's Wednesday. No, it's Tuesday. Wow. Oh, wow. So anyway, in this tweet, he was talking about how much he loves Cleveland and going on about how he has love for the city. And I was texting Meredith and Brittany earlier today just saying, like, man, like, Browns fans are, like, really insufferable because they're mad at Njoku for requesting a trade out. But then today I saw some Mac Wilson slander on my timeline. I'm not about to have that. And Caitlin, I think you were part of this.
I was.
So I need to know. I need to know what is going on with, why does everyone hate Mac Wilson?
I just think, like, okay.
Tell me.
He went from being an underrated fifth round pick to now the most overrated player on the Browns.
Why? Why is he overrated?
Why is he overrated? Did you watch him play last year? I mean, I get it. You know,
we're going to blame everything. Everything is Freddie Kitchens' fault.
Yeah.
All Freddie Kitchens' fault.
Freddie Kitchens, all right. But Steve Wilkes' defense, that was awful last year. I say that the defense was way worse than the offense because – I mean, you lose games to Denver against a backup quarterback. You had a giant lead against Seattle. You know, you get just walloped by San Francisco. You lose to Duck Hodges, really? A guy named Duck Hodges you lose to?
Can, like, we not come revisit? On.
Well, that's what I mean.
I'm sad. But
then you actually watch him. It's like, okay, he at times he looked lost like any other rookie. But it's like we've seen him play well in the preseason, and that's the preseason. And we also, I mean, like, I think he saw the love that, like, Christian Kirksey got all the time, talking on social media and being tagged in a lot of things. And I think, you know, he just wants to be loved, which is fine, which is great. But I just don't – he's not the best linebacker in the room. And I just – like, right now, he's pretty overrated. I'm not putting all my eggs in the Mac Wilson basket. I think Phillips, I think he'll be fine. I think Taki Taki played way better in the more limited time that he played last year. But yeah, that's really it. It's just like, and I get it. People want to support their guy and support players who support Cleveland. And I'm all about that. But, like, come on, like, let's just keep it 100. Let's just keep it real. He went from being an underrated fifth round pick to being an overrated fifth round pick. It's like, how does that happen?
Who do you think is our best linebacker?
Man,
do we have one?
That's the linebacker is so, like, it is awful.
That's
like,
where I'm at.
I'd say that that Phillips, the third round pick, is our best linebacker right now.
Wow, man, that's actually frightening though. Like, to think about that, of having a rookie be
our best linebacker.
Be our best linebacker. I mean, like, it's true. Like, this is the one position that we've constantly talked about, like, from the draft and post draft, that we, like, that is where we feel like we have the biggest void. And that is not a place where you want to have a void in your defense. Man. Yeah.
Caitlin. Mac fan here.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because, like, you know, it's hard for me to not like somebody or not cheer for somebody who seems to, like, genuinely love the city so much. Like, he just seems to love it here. So I look at that and I'm like, yes, I really want you to succeed. So keeping that in mind, what kind of expectations do you have for him going into this season? Do you think there will be improvements? Do you think, now that Wilkes is gone, like, maybe things will...
I mean, you always hope that, you know, guys develop, and I don't see why he wouldn't. But it's just, like, everything that people are, like, hyping him up about isn't his play on the field. And that's where he becomes overrated. Because it's just like, well, how did you play last year? He didn't play. At times he played fine. At other times he looked lost, like any other rookie. Mm-hmm. So why are we putting all of our eggs in this Mac Wilson basket where, I mean, maybe there was a reason why he slipped to the fifth round.
Was there something that happened that I missed that this all, like, took place today?
No, I think people just think he's corny. And that's okay.
Oh, I love the corniness. Give me all the corniness.
I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, it wasn't just from you, Caitlin. It was, like, I saw, like, multiple people, like, slandering Mac Wilson.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, we're going to kill David Njoku for requesting a trade and also slander a guy that loves Cleveland and wants to be here. Right? We are insufferable.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, Cleveland Browns fans, like, we're idiots. Like, let's just get it. Like, let's just be honest about it. But it's also like, let's be for real. Like, you know, you see David Njoku wants out. All right, bye. Like, go. Like,
can I defend David Njoku?
Go ahead, because I have a retort for you, Meredith.
Okay, so we have seen this before from a Drew Rosenhaus represented player by the mm-hmm. name of Duke Johnson. Mm-hmm. One of the differences is that Duke Johnson didn't necessarily request a trade, but he came out and said that, oh, I heard my name was on the trade block. And it's like, dude, there's no such thing as a trade block in the NFL, but okay. So Duke was the one who was coming out and saying that they want to trade me. I want to be traded.
Right.
But when the Njoku news came out, first off, it came out on like July 4th, which is like a weird time for that to come out. But it was Drew Rosenhaus who was saying it. And the reason I'm going to defend Njoku on this is because I don't know that he necessarily wanted a trade. I think that he was getting bad advice from an agent who wants a lot of money, because I'm sure Rosenhaus was looking at this Browns roster, looking at Austin Hooper coming in as our number one tight end and saying, okay, well, if Austin Hooper is here and he's a better tight end than David Njoku is, my guy isn't going to get paid. My guy isn't going to be starting. And he probably is like, well, Kevin Stefanski runs two tight ends, so we're going to need depth at the tight end position. So I don't know why you'd want to get your guy out of there. Because even after that announcement came out, the Browns were like, no, we don't want to trade Njoku. We want him. Like, I'm sure, I think Kevin Stefanski has a very specific role in mind for David Njoku. And I think the whole him wanting to get traded was really just Drew Rosenhaus speaking for him. And I think it was just a young kid taking bad advice from a guy who is more concerned about his paycheck, you know, because he's probably thinking that David Njoku can go somewhere else and be the number one tight end and get a bigger paycheck. And if Njoku gets a bigger paycheck, then Drew Rosenhaus gets a bigger paycheck, you know? So I think that's really where a lot of it came out. And I think in the past week or so, Njoku probably realized, like, hey, wait a second. And I'm sure the Browns have talked to him too and said, hey, these are our plans. This is where you fit into our offensive scheme. And he's looking at that and saying, okay, I can deal with that. I like that. So that's probably why he's trying to change the narrative by tweeting about how much he loves Cleveland. So I don't think that he necessarily wanted a trade. Maybe he did at some point because he was convinced of it, but I don't think that this was coming from him. So,
I mean, yeah, I think it's telling when you know, the Browns exercised that fifth-year option on him, when I think we all kind of were like, are they going to do this? I mean, I think it's like $7.5 million. I mean, that's a significant contract for a team that really only has a couple more years of being able to afford big contracts until you obviously they signed Myles Garrett, but eventually, you know, like I talked about on my podcast, you know, Denzel Ward and Baker Mayfield, and it's just like, it's coming up. So
Nick Chubb.
Yeah, potentially Nick Chubb, yeah.
Depending on how you value him.
Yeah, exactly. So
I have to jump in with some of the comments because the comments are blowing up with like a lot of really great conversation. Going back to linebacker position, at Doug Tyack, I'm probably butchering your name, said in a division where they play the Ravens twice, I really wish they would have upgraded the linebacking core. And that is a very good point because if you think about the offensive that the Browns are going to face, you have Lamar Jackson and a very run-heavy offense that they're going to face two times a year in the division. You have Joe Burrow, which we don't know what we're going to get out of Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, but you have to think that could potentially be an explosive offense depending on how well he plays. And then you have Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, who obviously he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You can't count him out, unfortunately, as much as we want to. But you have to think, like, from a defensive standpoint, like, we have to be able to compete and stop the divisional offensive powerhouses. Or on the flip side, we're going to be in some shootouts and have to win by a field goal or a touchdown. And that is not where the Browns have been their best. So, man, I'm like sweating. I'm already nervous.
I think schematically how the NFL is, though, you really only play two linebackers at a time anyway. You're always in nickel or dime with multiple defensive backs. And I think that's why, I think in theory last year it worked with Steve – you would think it would work with Steve Wilkes because, you know, he was all about having three safeties on the field, but it's just like, number one, the quality of just schematically, it wasn't great. And then, you know, the quality of player, I think, in the secondary is better. So if they do run, you know, multiple safeties with Carl Joseph and Sadejo and, you know, Grant Telford. So I don't think it's a huge deal because I think the Eagles have shown that you don't need great linebacker play as long as you have a great front four and a solid secondary. But yeah, you know, going up against Lamar Jackson twice a year, it's not great. You want some sure tacklers, and obviously last year that
didn't happen. Yeah, we have to stay healthy. Stay healthy and stay out of trouble, you know, like Myles Garrett not being there that back half of the year, like really, really did a number on the defense. All right, guys, we're gonna shift gear into baseball a little bit because baseball is back, kind of. Obviously the official season kicks off this weekend. Did you guys get a chance to catch the Cleveland, what are we calling them? The Clouds, the Baseball Club, the Spiders.
Cleveland Baseball Club. That's what I put in the rundown.
I ignored that. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God. I watched the first game on Saturday night, and I didn't realize this because I have a streaming service that I watched it on, but apparently, like, it was an issue on cable where it wasn't showing up. But yeah, it was fun. It was exciting to see a real American sport being played on American soil. And one of the things that I thought was really cool, I guess there's apartment buildings or something like that that's in Pittsburgh that has a clear view of PNC Park. And they showed these people there. It was like four or five people that had like more snacks than like a Jenna party would have. And they're just like up on the top of the building with binoculars watching the Indians and the Pirates. And it was so heartwarming because people were just, it was an exhibition game and it was really slow to start out with. And there was a lot of weird things to get used to, like the fake crowd noise, the empty stands. Terry Francona needs to learn how to wear his mask because that was bothering me. It bothers me. But overall, it was really, really exciting to see it. And then you just have to hope that people stay healthy and nothing happens that would cause it to shut down.
Now, was this broadcast on, I know the game in Pittsburgh was not on SportsTime Ohio. Was it on MLB Network or MLB TV?
Both.
Okay. So like, and it was blacked out in local areas, correct?
Yeah, parts of it were blacked out. Like, I know, and this isn't one of the things that pisses me off, is that MLB TV does have regional blackouts, which is ridiculous. So it's,
I couldn't see it on my, so I have YouTube TV, and it was on the MLB Network, but I couldn't watch it because it was blacked out. But I think people in Cleveland could watch. I don't know. I was really frustrated that I couldn't watch it at all. And then it wasn't on, I couldn't watch it last night either. Yeah, I got to watch zero baseball this weekend. So great way to capitalize on a time when there are literally no sports happening and you would have all of the eyes solely on you.
No, like that was super disappointing because when I read that, I saw people complaining that it was blacked out and they couldn't get it. And I'm like, you know, again, Major League Baseball, they have an opportunity to capitalize on this, say, hey, we are the only ones on the stage right now.
Yes.
And you do things like that. Like, just, it's all the little tiny small things that Major League Baseball does. And you're just like, oh my God, like, can you please just do something right? And that made me mad. I didn't watch because I was watching Parks and Rec for like the sixth time. But like, I just had no interest. I was, you know, scrolling through Twitter when it was happening. So I was getting like updates. I saw Frankie make a really great play. That was awesome. I saw at the end when they did the foot taps with the masks on. I was like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I did like that.
Yeah, but other than that, there's nothing about this that gets me excited anymore. I'm very much looking forward to football, very much looking forward to the NBA. I don't know. Baseball just kind of lost me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to bash you for it because I'm sure there's a lot of people who are in the same boat as you are. Especially with how public all of the negotiations were between the Players Association and the league and just not being able to figure their shit out. And, you know, in a time when they could have been playing like 80 to 90 games 6 weeks ago, they flubbed and flubbed and flubbed. And now we've got 60 games. So I can understand where that frustration comes from. And I know that there are some people who, I'm trying to think of like how I want to say this, because I know at least for like the NBA, I know a lot of people who aren't interested in watching it because the Cavs aren't in it. Mm-hmm. But then I'm sitting there thinking like, well, we haven't had like live sports as we know it since March 13th. So yeah, you might say that now, but then when NBA TV shows the Mavericks and the Lakers exhibition game on Thursday, like you might start tuning in. It could be one of those things where you're like, I don't, like, you can't even control your hands. It's just turning on the TV and turning on the basketball game, and next thing you know, you're watching like shitty basketball between Dallas and LA.
Yeah, I was watching shitty basketball before they went on lockdown, so you know, I don't see it as any difference.
Well, hey, Colin Sexton was like the MVP of the NBA before.
He was.
I gotta admit that I'm in that same boat when it comes to the NBA, because like there's no Cavs. Like I just don't care.
You don't care?
No, not.
I love the NBA.
I usually do too, but it's just like I can't.
You don't want to watch LeBron make his comeback?
I don't want him to win.
You don't?
No, he left twice.
I know. I'm like, whatever.
But I'm super excited about baseball because I just love baseball. So it's just like, and anything, whether it's the Indians, whether it's basically any team, I'm all about it.
See, Caitlin, for some reason, I thought you were like me with baseball. Where like you love it, but then you also hate it.
I hate the politics around it and like them changing rules and shit like that. But like the actual game, I'll sit and listen to Hammy go off about whatever rant in the eighth inning when they're up like 9-3. Like those are the best. Like those are the best. Now I don't watch the games because I'm not a big fan of the broadcast, but you know, it is what it is. I love listening to the Hammy though.
And yeah, Hammy's the best. I do. There is like something summertime and having the Indians on the radio.
Just perfect.
Is my childhood. Like that is what I grew up. Like we had a swimming pool at my parents' house. So I grew up like in the swimming pool. My dad got his radio out, put it by the pool. The Indians were blasting. So it's been a weird summer thus far, like without having any baseball on the radio station. So I am looking forward to that. And like my dad always asking like at night, did the Indians win tonight? Like that is just like, I do miss that. But I think it's more like sentimental for me.
Yeah.
Brittany, you have to cover, so there are a couple of things that I actually am not caught up on, and that is, well, first, I did actually see this, wanted to give a shout out to the San Francisco Giants, because props to them, first female coach coaching her ass off on the first base, as a first base coach, that was awesome to see. Don't read the comments, like, again, like, come on, people, like, come on. But really, really happy to see that. Hope we continue to see things like that happening. And Brittany, I wanted you to touch on like the players, MLB players specifically kneeling for the anthem, because I don't think this has happened in baseball, as much as it has in NFL.
I don't know that I think there were a few instances where it did happen in Major League Baseball before, but, I think it was yesterday. And again, it was with the Giants. A lot of their players, and I want to say their manager or like some of their coaches, they also kneeled for the national anthem. And of course, you know, as you would expect, there was a backlash from the fans. Meredith, you said Aubrey Huff. I don't follow Aubrey Huff. I don't even look at anything that he does. But you said he
lost his mind.
Yes, and there was,
I mean, he lost his mind a while ago, but
it was trending yesterday to boycott Major League Baseball, and he had something to do with it. I know there were a lot of fans that were upset. I don't want to get political, but I saw president say something about.
I did see that.
Yes. I don't support people who don't stand for the national anthem, but you know, all that. So now baseball is getting in the conversation with all the politicalness.
Oh yeah. The actual MLB Twitter account was clapping back, which was
when people would make comments, then they would respond with supporting human rights is not political, which I think is just great. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised to mention baseball. Yes.
In all fairness, like that is just the truth. So Wow. That actually makes me happy, because I do feel like we've talked about this before, but with the MLB, players are not well known. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they don't really have platforms. As much as we might know our own team, or you follow your own team, a lot of casual baseball fans don't really follow or know other players outside of their own. Mm-hmm. So I do like that they are taking a stance of listening to their players, supporting their players, yes. much along the lines of how the NBA treats their players. Mm-hmm. And I hope, and that's kind of what I sense in the NFL too, like this movement kind of shifting to be players having more power and more say in things, which I think is good, because we are growing up in a different generation. And kids that are watching sports now, this is what they want out of their sports. Like, they want it to be more than just playing the game. Like, they are following along these players. They look up to them. And these players, like, can make a really big impact. So I'm happy to see things going this route, and for all the right reasons.
I'm just glad, like, most teams are just, they're unified. It's not like,
yes,
you know, I think a few years ago with the Steelers and Villanueva, yes. there was that issue. I think that there was a guy in the MLB, Bruce Maxwell, I think was his name, that he knelt, but it, like, literally, like, 2 months later, he, like, assaulted some lady, and it's just, like, kind of dampering, like, why yeah. he did it. And it's just, like, I'm just glad that, you know, with the Indians, that they have, like, the hand over their heart, and then the hand, their other hand on, like, the player next to them, their shoulder.
Yes, yes.
So, I'm all about people supporting, or, you know, using their First Amendment to do whatever that they want to do, number one. But I'm also super glad that that everybody's unified as individual teams, that, you know, there's no, well, why did this person sit out? And then it makes it even a bigger issue. It's like, no, mm-hmm. we're all in this together. It's either all or none. And, you know, it's just great to see, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah, and my favorite thing was the response from MLB, like you said, saying this is not a political issue, because people keep trying to politicize it and then saying, oh, keep the politics out of my sports. But, you know, the reality is that politics and sports intertwine. You know, you can't have sports in a bubble and politics in a bubble. It just doesn't work like that. You know, the only way it would work like that is if sports were just robots and not people, you know? So I love that Major League Baseball came out and said, like, no, this is not a political issue. This is a human rights issue. So it's just, yeah. I saw Jenna comment in the Periscope that the MLB Twitter account has been elite. And yes, like, they have.
Yeah. That's the thing. You can't, like, these athletes are humans too. And a lot of them are Black players or Hispanic players, or have experienced some type of racism in their lifetime. So, like, there are no better people to discuss these issues and to bring light to it than themselves. So, like, we have to stop thinking that athletes are just there for our entertainment. Like, they are right. also humans, and they should have voices. We should listen to them.
100%.
I think going back to, you know, your point about sports and politics, I mean, they're obviously intertwined, because, you know, in Cleveland, the Jacobs Field and the Brown Stadium and, you know, Gund Arena, when it was built, I mean, it was built on a syntax. So, of course, like, it's part of, it's intertwined. You know, it's one of the reasons why the Browns left is because of the politics of
yep.
of Cleveland Municipal Stadium and Modell wanting a stadium and the city not wanting to give them one. You know, obviously, I'm not defending Modell at all, but there's a lot of different factors that result in certain things. So, of course, sports and politics are always intertwined. And like anything.
Yeah, like, imagine if people told you, like, anyone listening to this, you can only talk about things that pertain to your job. Because at the end of the day, sports is just a job to these people. It's not yes. their entire mm-hmm. lives. They have lives beyond this. They have families. They have passions and interests that don't revolve around sports. So imagine if someone were to say to you, you know what, just shut up and do accounting. And don't ever blast any opinions on anything else in life. Just stick to, you know, being an engineer. And that's all you know, and that's all you're ever allowed to talk about. Imagine stick what to would be like.
Yeah, stick to investment banking, Chad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, like, if you gain a popularity, then why wouldn't you use your platform exactly for whatever cause you see fit?
Exactly. Just like we are doing with our platforms, each individually, every single Tuesday. I mean, this is why we are doing what we're doing, because we have a platform and we are going to use it to continue to talk about these things that are important to us, important to all of you. While still being true to ourselves. Guys, I think we will wrap it up after this. This was a really fun episode. I'm happy that we did this. I was in a bad mood before coming on this show. But
are
I always
you in
leave,
a good mood now?
Yeah, I always leave so much happier. So thank Aww. You to all of you, to you ladies, to all of our people on Periscope that are interacting. It was a great show tonight, being in the chat room. I have to make more of a priority of responding, because there's so much good stuff happening there. Caitlin, we thank you so much for joining us tonight. You guys that are listening or watching, make sure you go follow her. She is, let me make sure I get this right, at Caitlin Knows Klee, but she is K-A-T-E-L-I-N. So Caitlin Knows Klee. Give her a follow. Listen to her podcast. Make sure you guys download us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, or Stitcher. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And we will see you again live next week.